Welcome back to Farm Talk, Mick Kerr. At the Prairie Grains Conference, all our reports brought to you by the North Dakota Grain Growers and the North Dakota Wheat Commission. In the first half of the hour, I had a chance to thank the first vice president and president of the North Dakota Grain Growers for sponsoring our reports here. Now I get to thank the North Dakota Wheat Commission's Neil Fisher. Thank you for sponsoring us here.
Glad to be a part of it.
It is a great couple of days, actually 3 days. A lot of people come here one day, but it's a three-day event.
We're actually into it a day and a half with our we had a board meeting here yesterday morning, started the county rep deal about at noon, and just finished up the 2019 county representatives meeting with the North Dakota Wheat Commission just a few minutes ago. So we're on to the next chapter here. Fun.
What goes on at a county rep meeting, and what is a county rep?
That's a very good question. Our board of directors is elected from the ground up, as we say, very much from the grassroots level. Each county in six districts elects a county representative to the North Dakota Wheat Commission. They're divided up in production-weighted districts, and every other year there's two of the districts reelect for a 4-year term their representative on the main commission, which is a 7-person board. So that's the way we repopulate, and most of the time these commissioners can serve up to 12 years. Many of them do, and so far we've been really, really fortunate to have very, very articulate and very dedicated producers that join us in this effort. And of course they keep us around as staff to carry out the programs that they lay out. So in that county rep process, we kind of use it as a little bit of a strategic planning process light, I guess I would say. Mm-hmm. And the county reps lay out their priorities, their wishes, desires, and but we also report on progress or success stories or problem areas that we're having, challenges and so on in our major program areas, which are market development, research, and public outreach, and domestic promotion, domestic policy, which we share with the grain growers and the durum growers that you just mentioned, one of those organizations, and they're both very capable of carrying out those functions for us. So that kind of rounds out our program, and each year it's interesting. Each year we have a guest speaker from U.S. Wheat Associates come back and talk about either a very challenging area or a successful set of accomplishments that they've done on behalf of wheat producers with the checkoff dollars.
On the policy side, then, what has percolated to the top from the county level now up to state level here?
Well, this was an opportunity for us to kind of review where we've been in research, and to some people's surprise, we have lost very few acres in hard red spring wheat country compared to the rest of the country. Our yields have gone up at a rather dramatic level, and yet the quality has been very satisfying for our customers. But as you know, this year we were challenged a bit in that area, so that's kind of been the top of mind issue: is how do we deal with this falling number stuff? How do we do customer satisfaction, I guess, in these challenging times, and keep that very good market that we have going? Fortunately, we have a good team at North Dakota State University's Crop Quality Division of the Plant Sciences Department. Each year, we do a baseline report that builds on itself, and so we can go in and say, okay, the last 2 years, we had just absolutely sterling quality. This year, we've got a few bumps and lumps in the deal, and this is how you'd protect yourself in that. And so we kind of provide the service package, and it's been very effective in building and continuing market share, growth in markets, and so that Asia has just been explosive for us, and we have some new frontiers, some to accomplish with some trade policy wrinkles to iron out, and then we have some new opportunities in Indonesia, Vietnam, Taiwan, and some other places that we're exploring. We have some presence there, but we want to see that follow the Philippines example, where it's just been absolutely explosive lately. Very, very positive.
There's a lot more than China and USMCA to talk about, huh?
You know, that's a very interesting point for the North Dakota or the Minnesota or our region hard red spring wheat producers. Let's include them all, and we reach out into the PNW a little bit for about 12% of that production as well. But we find that we've had a very, very good successful year in the Asian area in particular, and trade policy, of course, has been on top of mind. We are pleased to see that there's progress being made on USMCA, and that has been a priority. Not so much that we trade a lot of wheat going north with Canada, certainly, but with Mexico growing and with all the rest of agriculture involved there, we're very keen on seeing USMCA get passed. That said, We recognize that there are limitations there, but there are some positives, and we think it demonstrates as we work our way through the post-TPP scenarios that we're facing right now, that this allows the rest of the world to see how we play in the sandbox, as one of our producers said, with our two closest neighbors in the arena that's called North America. So that's, yeah. I think that's satisfying that there is progress being made. Hopefully that gets done before Christmas. We'll see.
That would be great. Before New Year's would do. But
that's right.
It's got to get done before Christmas, I think.
And the other thing is that we've been very concerned outside of TPP. We were big proponents of that agreement and saw a lot of benefits in it. And we can talk about that some more as to what we do in future, I think. But we had to level up the playing field with Japan because we had kind of talked Japan into TPP. Then as we stepped away from that, our two heaviest competitors, Canada right to the north of us here, one of our USMCA partners, and Australia being our greatest competitors in that high-quality wheat market, we had to get this leveled up. We think the negotiators did a masterful job of going in and getting just exactly what we asked them to do, so that when that gets fully implemented, now it's gone through both the levels, the two houses in the Japanese government, that it will level that back up for us and maybe even just give us just a little edge over our competitors there, hopefully. So those are two accomplishments. The China deal is a little bit more of a long homework assignment. But fortunately, we have 60 markets around the world, high-quality markets, kind of built kernel by kernel with a 65-year trade relationship building process there. So we're rather fortunate in that area.
In China, as their economy grows and as their middle class becomes the dominant, they're going to eat more pork again and more beef, and all. They're going to want good wheat products to go with it.
That's exactly right. And you know, it's easy to focus on soybeans in the China market, and we feel for our partners in the soybean industry, and you know, we all grow all of these crops. We're blessed in having the diversity we do in our agriculture here, but we have 60 markets out there that have been built kernel by kernel and relationship by relationship. And so in China, even people think, well, soybeans, but we have a 40 million bushel market in China that we walked away from, and now we're building our way back in. A couple cargoes on the water. I think one of them has actually been delivered this year, so things are looking up there a little bit. But it hurt wheat producers as well, especially in this region, because almost every kernel of wheat sold to China over the last few years was built again on that sort of Hong Kong model.
The high-quality spring
exactly.
wheat they need for rolls and
exactly.
Noodles and all that. Yeah.
And even just for the tourist groups that were there or the business people doing business there, those early hotel operations that popped up, their Western-style hotels, sort of introduced the product, and so we've had a small trickle there to follow. It's growing into a quite a nice market if we can get that normalized again.
Okay, Neil Fisher, North Dakota Wheat Commission. Before we run out of time, you said something over 5 minutes ago I want to get back to. We, as the world continues to be awash in wheat, there are fewer acres of wheat grown in the U.S., but North Dakota has not seen a reduction in spring wheat acres?
That's really really pretty remarkable, and it's this whole region, really. We have lost fewer acres than anybody else. It's almost a very, very level situation, and our yields and production have continued to go up. In fact, we now grow as much wheat as we did 30 years ago on 30% fewer acres in the nation, but here we've stayed fairly level and our production has actually gone up. So we have a lot to offer there. And we had a Japanese customer tell us just a few years ago that your U.S. spring wheat is just a little less than 2% of the world production of wheat. That's the 2% we want to buy. And they've been paying premiums for it. But we don't talk about protein premiums so much anymore as a class premium for what is now known as dark northern spring wheat in the Asian market. Explosive growth in the Philippines. Japan is leveling off a bit. But Indonesia, Vietnam, Malaysia are the new ones to start these relationships up with and grow it further. So
All
we're
right.
very excited about that.
Yeah, so again, and USMCA sets the stage for those kind of treaties and relationships.
Building some trust again in that the U.S. is capable of having a relationship with other trading companies and countries.
Yeah. Way back in the early part of the 20th century, Milton Young was known as Mr. Wheat. North Dakota was a wheat state and a lot of corn and beans out there.
That's
but
true.
We still have a lot of spring wheat acres.
We talk about the diversification, and I think it's something our fathers and grandfathers wished for, and yet we still have 25 million acres of production. We are this close to Iowa from being the number one state. Minnesota follows along very closely, so we're very important in this region for a lot of things, beef, wheat, corn, soybeans, lots of things, and about a dozen other things that we're very, very good at. So we're very proud of our agriculture here, and in general, and great to have this opportunity to be in a place like Prairie Grains right now.
Well, tell you what, Neil Fisher, Executive Director, North Dakota Wheat Commission. In the last 10 minutes, you've gotten guys excited about growing wheat next year.
Well, we've heard some of that. In fact, one corn grower said, you know, after this fall, he said, wheat's looking pretty good again.
Indeed, indeed. Again, thank you for sponsoring us here, and again, thanks for being here, and maybe we'll get a chance to visit again tomorrow.
Oh, it's great to visit. Always.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, Neil Fisher, North Dakota Wheat Commission.